You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. The Boulder restaurant Frasca, often mispronounced Frasca, is in the running for a James Beard Award, basically the Oscars of food. The restaurant, which serves Northern Italian dishes, is nominated in the category of Outstanding Wine Program. It was also nominated last year. So let's spend some time at Frasca, which restaurant guide Zagat calls sublime in every way. It's around 5 o'clock. The doors will be opening soon. But for now, the wait staff spend a few minutes sipping wine. They're tasting this evening's featured selections, and they're gathered around the actual winemaker who has flown in from Italy.
So 100% Sangiovese from the oldest vineyards. So this is from vineyards that now are between 30 and 50 years of age.
While the wait staff take notes and pepper the winemaker with questions, two young men work silently in a side room that contains only wine glasses, 25 different types, each for a different kind of wine. It's one man's job to clean the glasses and Kevin Miller's job to polish them. He explains what it takes to be a good polisher.
Practice and muscle memory. It's really a lot of practice, muscle memory, and then you got to be able to look for those different spots and smudges and stuff to make sure that they're all clean and really shiny.
Wine bottles are stored in a small climate-controlled room. They call it the cellar, but it's on the same level as everything else, tucked away between the dining room and the kitchen.
We have about over 600 bottles on the list and probably over $250,000 in wine inventory here at Frasca, so it's definitely important to store properly.
Carlin Carr is a sommelier here, and she points out one of the most valuable bottles in the cellar.
2002, Frederick Mounieret Mousseni, Grand Cru Red Burgundy in a Magnum. That's at least a few thousand dollars, yeah, and pretty epic. One of the best wines I've ever had, for sure.
A few steps away in the kitchen, Chef Sam McCandless prepares tonight's meal.
Right now I'm warming up a bean, black-eyed bean puree. And then crisping a piece of bacon. For the first course, it's black-eyed beans, in a salad form with sofrito.
The second dish is macaroni. The entree is beef with
braised greens, it's kale, escarole, Swiss chard, and then fingerling potatoes that are poached and then smashed and then fried in rosemary oil, and then parmesan and fried rosemary. And it's very simple, but it aligns with the wines really well.
Back in the dining room, customer Matt Riley says he's here for more than the food and wine.
You come out for the experience. You come out for the extra bit of ambiance. You come out for the attention. There's almost as many staff members as there are diners in here waiting to take care of you.
Well, Bobby Stuckey is one of Frasca's owners, and he's in charge of the wine program. Bobby, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
We just heard about the lengths you go to, polishing the wine glasses, for instance. I can imagine someone hearing all that and thinking, this is over the top. This is too much.
It might be over the top, or maybe it's just the basics that we've all forgotten. I think about setting up for service and getting ready in the restaurant business. It's so much about basics and the craft of the basics that as we have exploded in the restaurant world with celebrity chefs and all these things, a lot of young up-and-coming restaurant service people forget that at the end of the day, those little basics aren't over the top. It's so what we need to do.
What comes first when designing a meal, the food or the wine?
Wow. We're a very wine-centric restaurant, but at the end of the day, food comes first. And then really our job in the front of the house or a wine team is to taste that food, to feel that food, and to think where in the wine list we can help that food.
Because you've got the cellar full of options, and so you have a number of places to turn.
Exactly. You might know that there's a seasonal shift, and you might have to spend part of your purchasing budget for more of a certain style of wine at a certain time of year. Let's say in a month from now, we'll be in the springtime, and we will genetically as people change what we want to drink. Without you knowing it, without me knowing it, all of a sudden, these rich autumnal white wines and heady Barolos and Barbarescos that we've been pouring all winter, we'll just long for something snappy and crisp and refreshing to go with things like snap peas or asparagus. And all of a sudden, we change what we want to drink without even knowing it.
I love that you said in putting the wine program together, it's not just about the taste of the food, but you said feel the food. Like the the texture of it in your mouth and how that might play with the wine selection?
For sure. Because let's say if you have a dish like risotto. So risotto, a classic northern Italian dish. If you're doing a risotto that's maybe mounted with cream and butter, like in a style like Piemonte, you can't just choose any wine to go with that. Maybe the flavors might work, but if there's not enough body, that risotto will push on top of that wine. Mm. Or if you're doing the same, another risotto dish, but maybe from our region of Italy, Friuli Venezia Giulia, which is based all on pesce or fish with no cream, no butter, is a whole different style of wine that you would look for body-wise. You can get away with using something that doesn't have as broad a shoulders because it doesn't have to stay on top of all that that fat.
I love wine language. I just love it. We heard in the introduction that the wait staff get a chance to taste the wines. And it made me wonder whether you all settle on one way to describe the evening's wines, or does each server get to take some license?
For sure they get to take their license, and we love to see that creativity and individuality because really, at the end of the day, my thumbprint is my thumbprint and yours is yours. Our palate's the same way. So something that's maybe high acid to me might be medium plus acid to someone else, and also how the wine comes across to that person. So yeah, you want them to understand the wine and be able to articulate it in their own license.
Bobby, let's bring this just a little bit out of the restaurant. What is the best piece of advice you have for wine selection at home for people who may spend 10 or 12 bucks on a bottle?
Well, at the end of the day, I might be a master sommelier, but I haven't won the lottery, and I like drinking a lot of wine, so I drink all price ranges, and that price range that you're talking about, I consume all the time also. What I like to do, and if I, even myself, I like to have a wine shop that I like to go to. For example, I like to go to here in Boulder, I like to go see Brett Zimmerman at the Boulder Wine Merchant, and I might say, hey, Brett, this is what I want to spend tonight. And this is what I'm in the mood for. So the first thing as a home wine drinker is to find someone that you trust, that you can use as a reference point, because they're tasting a lot more wine than you are, and they can filter it and distill it for you. So when you have that one bottle of wine on your Wednesday night or Saturday night, it matters, no matter what the price.
You've made it worth your while.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and good luck.
Thanks so much for the time.
Bobby Stuckey is co-owner and sommelier at Frasca, a restaurant in Boulder. The winners of the James Beard Awards will be announced in May.